But we're going to turn to events in the UK first, and to George Parker. You heard in the bulletin that Rishi Sunak has announced he's going to go to the country on the 4th of July. George, good evening to you. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Rishi Sunak being both drowned and drowned out as he appeared at the podium outside of number 10 Downing Street. Did it come as a surprise in the end?
I think it came as a surprise, including some members of his own cabinet, to be honest, that he decided to go for this early election in July rather than waiting until the autumn, which many people had expected. I think the conclusion that Rishi Sunak really was that this was about as good as things were going to get for him, that things could get even worse over the next 3 months. And he decided to go for it. But as you say, the portents weren't particularly good, were they? The rain lashing down in Downing Street, the loudspeakers from a protester blaring out, things can only get better, or things can only get wetter, as one wife puts it.
Right. To paraphrase, given his constituency, you might say now is the summer of our discontent, made miserable by this son of York. But there's an interesting quote, as you say, some discontent within his own party. One Tory, former Tory minister that you quote in the Financial Times today said the mood was murderous, adding, "I'm very, very pissed off. This is absolute madness, bonkers. Not a single colleague is saying they're pumped up or they're ready."
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say there's a divided mood in the party. That's certainly on one end of the spectrum. People who feel that Rishi Sunak's indulged himself really by calling this election early. You hear people saying that he's selfish, that he's someone who can afford to look forward to a future in his apartment in Santa Monica in California. What about these poor people who are going to face the dole within a few months, a few weeks' time now, of course. I think other people think it's better just to rip off the plaster, get on and do it. You might as well be on the front foot and go for it. But if you look at the betting odds, go down to Ladbrokes, you can get 25-1. I think I even saw 40-1 on a Tory majority of this election. So it's about a foregone conclusion as any election I can ever remember. But strange things happen in British politics.
Right. Keir Starmer's pitch to the country is stop the chaos, turn the page. That's pretty pithy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, most elections in any country boil down to the proposition that it's time for a change. And when you listen to Sir Keir Starmer making his pitch to the country, I think he must have mentioned change at least a dozen times in his short speech, against the idea that, we're on the right track, don't turn back, better the devil you know. And that was essentially Rishi Sunak's pitch in Downing Street, saying that these are dangerous times, he's brought about stability in the economy, and it's better to stick with him. The thing is, the Tories have been in power for nearly 15 years now, and you just feel that we're coming to the end of a political cycle and the country is ready for a different set of people in power.
All right. But I mean, a stable economy, but not so stable that they could finance a generous tax package, and not such confidence that they could expect inflation to drop radically enough for the Bank of England to cut interest rates. So it seems to be calling an election before the news gets worse.
Yeah, that was a key calculation for Rishi Sunak. The long-standing assumption was that you wait till the autumn and things on the economy would pick up and people would start to feel the benefits. But they looked at some of the data. They realised they wouldn't have enough money, as you say, to cut taxes in the autumn, which had been originally part of the plan. Interest rate cuts by the Bank of England seem to be being pushed back. And in the end, I think they thought that things were about as good as they were going to get. I mean, there was good news on inflation in the UK today. The inflation rate fell to just above 2%, which is the Bank of England target. That's good news. The British economy actually grew by 0.6% in the first quarter, which is faster than Germany, France, I think even the United States, actually. So things are looking better. The problem is Rishi Sunak doesn't have much time left. And to be honest, the public have put their fingers in the ears largely and aren't listening to very much that he says.
And, 23 points, according to your own paper, looking at a kind of a poll of polls, 23 points behind Labour. And that's not the only problem. There's also Reform, which stayed out of the election, or the Brexit Party, or whatever sobriquet they had the last time. Reform will contest these elections. And with those nibbling from the right, with Lib Dems nibbling from the sort of more one nation Tory side on the other side, it's a very narrow path for any consolation seats to be rescued in the coming election. Would that be fair to say?
I think that's a very good summary of what's going on. The Tories are fighting on so many different fronts. They're fighting Labour in most of England and Wales. They're fighting the Liberal Democrats in the more prosperous south of England. As you say, Reform UK, Nigel Farage's party, are taking votes away from them on the right. And they've got no friends in Parliament either. So even in the event, in the very unlikely event there was a hung Parliament, they've got no allies left, apart from possibly the DUP in Northern Ireland, but even that's a bit fractious at the moment. So, you know, that's why all the odds are suggesting towards a Keir Starmer government in a few weeks' time. I have to say, though, that to get to a majority of one, Keir Starmer has to gain 125 seats at the next election. It's a big mountain to climb for him. So, you know, there's a long way to go. I don't think we should call the election just yet. But at the moment, and just look at the, you know, the imagery of today, you know, Rishi Sunak standing in Downing Street, soaked in rain, trying to speak over a loudspeaker. Keir Starmer inside against a wood panel backdrop, Union Jacks beside him. You know, one of them looked like a prime minister and one didn't, and it wasn't Rishi Sunak.
All right. Briefly, before we let you go, Keir Starmer's main problems, could they be summed up as George Galloway, Muslim voters and Keir Starmer?
That's a good way of putting it. I mean, Keir Starmer is not Tony Blair, as everyone always says. He doesn't excite the country in the way that Britons were excited back in 1997. He's got a problem as well, as you say, on the left of his party, particularly people who think he's taken the wrong stance on the Gaza conflict, epitomised by George Galloway from the Workers' Party. But those are small problems, I would say, in contrast to some of the much bigger problems being confronted by Rishi Sunak as he goes to the country in a few weeks' time.
All right, George Parker, political editor of the Financial Times. Busy few weeks, even busier few weeks for you ahead into right into the summer. Thanks very much for joining us. Now-